Possession number 13361, Mr. K. Lodge, Reel 9.
Mr. K. Lodge, Reel 9. You reached the Albert Canal, Mr. Lodge. What went on there?
Why, we left Brussels and we moved up to the Albert. And then I think that would be the 8th of September, the next year when we got there. And then we were just holding, we just like sort of stopped there. And the 8th Battalion went across on the 8th. And we were just sort of like biding time a bit late. And the Royal Engineers were trying to put a bridge across. And they were come under constant fire. But we could see what was happening. The Germans were using all of these air bursts, you know, these air bursts, 88, exploding above your head and that type of thing, like attack shells, you know. And, this went on for hours, and they were trying to get this bridge across, and we were just lying, waiting. And then we decided, I think it was on the, we crossed on the 9th. I remember before going over, the RC Padre was there for the RC people. They were talking to them, and I don't know what to do, say something to them, but we would see Ray, we didn't say, oh, Padre. And
did you find that often, that your Padre wasn't with you when you were due to go into a fight?
He was around, but never really missed him. He did, he come up with, he used to have services in the field and that type of thing. But this particular time, the RC Paddy was giving these people, and had these rosaries and that, and he was talking to them, and my mate says to me, he says, I don't think there's anyone's coming back. And so they finally got this bridge up. It was what the engineers call a Class 9 bridge. It's only built on canvas boats, fastened together with planks. I think that's a Class 9. I don't know whether they could hold a tank or not, I'm not sure. But all the years there was just like these planks fastened on these canvas boats, which the 8th Battalion used to get across on the air. And eventually we crossed the canal over this bridge they had built, and that was the 9th.
Were you still a composite company, or had you gone back to your previous formation again?
I don't really know. I don't really know who was in charge. I think we were just the same. I said, I cannot remember, but I can't remember the new sailing. Anyway, we crossed the canal, and it never ceased. It never ceased. The Germans were just attacking all the time. Just imagine the Germans saying, you're getting across that canal and you're going back. And I spent the first night in a cully under the road. This dry ditch ran through the road. That's where we spent the first night. I was inside there. And it went, and the fight was going on right through the night. And the next day, we moved farther, pushed on farther, just south of Geel. And we dug in there. And then all the time there, there's constant shelling, and them air bursts. And there's one particular thing, was the Germans seem to have a big gun that seemed to be outstanding, because you can hear the guns in the distance. It seemed to take them maybe about 3 or 4 minutes to load it. You know, you hear this boom in the distance, and then a few seconds later, the shell comes screaming, and he was spot on. Because we were dug in on this road, and he was determined to ship us up that road, because they were attacking up the road. And he was, the shell went on long time. And there was one of our lads got a direct hit, one of the trenches, and he was blown right across the field. Him. And anyway, these shells were going down, and the muck was flying. And then the Germans was attacking, because we could see down the road and across that way, and we could see Germans attacking on that side. And I couldn't see this side because of hedges, but I could see down the road. And it never ceased. And then,
were the units farther ahead of you that were taking the brunt of these attacks?
No, we were the farthest ones.
So you were firing, in effect?
Yeah. Well, we had a Bren gun on that side of the road, and he was firing down the road, and I was asking him what he was firing at. He says, well, they're coming up the road. Well, I couldn't see down there. I could only see across that way. And I could actually see Germans making, moving up the, up behind these hedges there, you know. And then the amazing thing was, I could see our lads going forward again. There was one of the companies put in an attack. And I could see our lads going forward, and they were actually passing these Germans. And they were going down, and they put this attack. And it seemed to ease, you know, the front door just seemed to ease because of this attack. And then the word came to pull back for some reason. Then we pulled back, but I found out it was just a regroup. You know, I thought, great, we're going back, somebody else is coming in. So we pulled back, and then they said, we're going to attack jail. Oh. So we start to move out again towards G. We could see G. It was only 2 or 3 bears across G itself. And, but we're moving up, and I could see Germans again across on the left. And I could see one moving up there like in this ditch, and I fired at him. And I don't know whether I hit him or not. I saw the muck fly. You know, the bullet hit the ground. I saw the muck fly. And then obviously shouted for the mortar, and the mortar man gave him a few bombs, and then they just took off. They took off, and the way they went down there, and the way he was firing at them down, just following them like that, you know, trying to hit them, and the way they went, and then we attacked into the jail, and we got into jail with the support of tanks. And we got into the main, one of the main streets, I don't know which street it was. There were some German vehicles burning, a few dead Germans lying about. And actually got into this street, and we're running down this street, and the civilians are still in the town, of course, and they were popping their heads out the doors, you know, to see what was happening. And, Englander, Americano. And I was come past this house, and this bloke, he stuck a half a bottle of cognac in my hand. I've got a rifle in one hand and half a bottle of cognac in the other, running down the street like this. And we've got so far down the street, and we've come under mortar fire. Oh. And these mortars were crashing over the cobblestones. Christ, not any cobblestones. Oh, I says, how am I going to get out of this? And I was just turning on there, and the streets, you know, there were shops, and there was a woman. She's going to get waving. And I said, oh, over there. And I ran across there, and I got to the shop, and the whole windows went out. And the glass was flying, and this woman was screaming, and she pushed me down the cellar. That was what she wanted for me to get out of the cellar, and get out of the way for a while. I rolled from the top to the bottom of this cellar with all my gear, and this half a bottle of cognac was still unmarked. And I'm lying at the bottom of the steps in a heap. Good, good. And I could hear all these bombs crashing up behind me. And then the cellar was full of people. And I'm the only squatty down there, like. And this chap, he sucked me half bottle of cognac. Because I didn't drink them days, eh? And I was down there for about a half an hour, and it stopped, and I'd come back out again. And the lads were coming out of various positions, and there's one or two of them had been hit, and they were wounded. Like. And there were some German prisoners there as well. And one German, he was wounded, and he was showing me his arm, he'd been hit, and I thought, can't be bothered with you, attend to me one mate at the moment. And then things just calmed down then, and people were coming out the houses and sticking flags out the windows, and had a few photographs. Somebody took my photographs there with a box camera. I don't know whether they'll still be around. I don't know. Possibly will. I don't know. And that was all right for a while. And somebody, this Belgium chap come flying by. He says, the bus is coming. And all these flags disappeared. out the windows. We were looking down the streets, we couldn't see anything. Unfortunately, the Germans were still in the town. The town had not been cleared. They were still there. Because when we moved forward again, there was a lot of snipers around. And then we moved to the outskirts of jail, and we dug in. Just in front of these houses, there were some houses in this field, but you couldn't see the bottom of the field because of the slope, a bit of a bevel on the leg. That was all there. We dug in there, and we just spent the night. It was pretty quiet, like. There was some firing going on, like, all over the place, but where we were, it was pretty quiet. And then there was a woman come out next morning. Was this mist, a very heavy mist. And she come out this house, one of these houses, and give her all this jug, your coffee, and that, you know, which was very good of her, you know. And then it was, I don't know what time it was, 4 o'clock in the morning. It was just like sort of breaking dawn, but this heavy mist was on the ground. And then as the time got on, the mist cleared, and we could see where we were, and looking at this building. And you know, somebody said, Germans! And we looked, here's four Germans walking across the field. They must have come up the town. They were armed, and well, there was a patrol. They were just walking across the field like that. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Walking like that. And we fired at them. And we dropped them. Now I don't know whether they went down, but when they went down, they went out of sight and counted the lie of the field. Like. And we must have hit them. But whether how many we killed the four, I don't know. And then, that was it. Like, they knew we were there then. And then, then the mortar started and the machine gun started. They knew we were there, but maybe didn't know exactly where we were. Like, and And that never ceased. We was getting a good pounding then. And then the attacks up the field. You see, it was, as I was saying, the field had a bit of a barrel on it, and they had to get up above the ground before they could see us. We could see them first. And we could see them waist high then. And they were looking like that. And we was firing, and they were going down. And then we thought that dear thing was building up like. The situation was worse, and the fighting was coming in from all directions. And the thing was really, I was saying, was to get out the trenches and get into the houses, fall back into town.
Had you an officer with you?
There was no officer with me, but there was an officer far farther down, because I saw him and his sergeant get out and get into the houses. Right? He didn't. I didn't see right everybody in the houses. But different trenches as well, they sort of joined one another, like we said.
Did you recognise the officer? Did you know him?
I didn't know him. I didn't know him. All officers always seemed to be new. I actually saw him get into one of the houses, and I was just thinking to myself, well, yeah. And anyway, there was fire seemed to be coming from all angles. They actually hit the magazine on the Bren gun. And they'd come over from that angle. And one or two lads tried to crawl out, but they got shot up. So we were well and truly pinned down. And the lad what was with me in this situation, he was a Welsh lad. I don't know his name, but I'll call him Tough. And he had the 2-inch mortar, and he only had 2 bombs left. And we fired them 2 bombs. He fired one straight along the ground. And I said, give the next one, give him a bit of height this time. And we set that one away and it crashed down somewhere. Might have killed somebody, I don't know. And then the Germans there, they were just about ready to really come this time. It was building up, and it just so happened this field come under shellfire. What I understood was maybe our artillery was actually shelling the Germans, or that was their artillery giving them cover and fire, because if it was their artillery, the shells were dropping short. And I said, Tough, now's your chance. The heads is down. And I grabbed me gear and I jumped the hot and took off with Taffy, for some reason, didn't follow. And I dived in this house, but I just got out the trench, and the machine goes open up, and as I was running towards this house, the bullets was ripping the slates off the houses. And I just dived into this house. And when I turned around, the Germans are there. The actually must have, I could never understand it. They were actually, must have been coming when them shells dropped. The Muslim maybe dispersed the Germans as well, same thing. And I got into this house and I ran out and I said, oh, I'll get through the other side. And all the doors in the house was locked. I was only in this little kitchen, remember now. Banging on the doors, and there'll be somebody in, all that cellars. Oh, I says, I'm going to mess about here. And I ran outside again, I ran straight to the Germans. And that was it. I just ran, there was some actually fired, you know. Those shots went off, and I was caught there. Eh?
What were your feelings as that happened?
Oh, terrible. Terrible. I was actually panicking by then. I was. My mind wasn't working right. And I was saying, how am I going to get out of this? And I was by myself. Where's the other lads? Where's Tap? He was caught in the trench. They got him. He never moved. And then Oh, it's a terrible feeling. And this one had, this journey had a hold of me. I mean, I don't know, yeah, I could have been shot on the spot. And he thought me with his rifle butt on my backside, and he was shouting something, and he don't get on there, and he thought when I went down the street. And when I got to the end of the street, I had toppers there, and I had another three or four of the lads, and had them against the gable end of this house. And get up there, and they stand like hands above my head on my steel helmet, like that. And this sort of German took over. He looked like a real Nazi to me. And he had a Luger in his hand, and he was just blustered about. I'm really sure that he I thought this fella's going to shoot us, give him half a chance. Then he come over, he put his hands in my pockets to say, what are they putting that? Not in my pockets. I was smoking at the time, and I never even had a smoke. And he went through my pockets, and he went, had some like ribbons, you know, army ribbons. I had iron crosses and all, okay, but not always at that time, but I had got them, but I hadn't got them on it. And I had some of these, and he goes, yeah, and he's looking at them, and then he dropped them, and then he and had nothing more, and he went in there, and then he stood back, and he was playing with his Luger, and he was talking in German, and nobody could understand. There was a German officer come up, and he chased him, right? And he took this other German to watch with, and this lad had been hit on the neck, and he was all balanced, he was wounded, and he was stood there with. Then he told me to sit, you know, and we were just sitting there, and he was quite pleasant, and he was, you know, he gave her all cigarettes, them a smoke, you know, and he was trying to explain how many cigarettes the dear the German got, and how many cigarettes the British soldiers got, but they had more than way I like it. We just sat there, and then.
Did you get any chance to talk to each other whilst you were there?
Why, we could do, like, everybody was there, and everybody was more or less watching what the Germans was doing. Because in a situation like that, you don't know what's going to happen to you. The Germans could make you drink ink. They could do anything they wanted. And eventually there was an NCO, I forget, it was German, and right, get up on your feet. And he gave me a span order. Carry. I don't know whether it was broken down or what, but I had to carry this banner. And they took me behind the German lines.
Did you have any idea from the uniforms that which regiment or what they come from?
What they were, a newly formed German parachute regiment. But they consisted of Air Force, German Air Force, and all kinds. They were all hardened Nazis. That's what they were. That's what they looked like to me. And I think it was the first parachute regiment, newly formed again. And that's what they consisted of Air Force, maybe some artillery, different regiments, all that. Because they still had the Air Force colours on the lapel thing. And then they took me behind the German lines, and all the Germans are looking at it, you know, and they say, oh, what's this? Oh, British prisoners, we must be winning the war. And then they took me to the German CO, I don't know what his rank was, possibly a colonel, And he asked for questions. Did we come right through France? Did we see this? Did we see that? We said that we did. Yes, we saw a lot of horses, and yes, we saw a lot of horses and all German horses. Yes, but you prisoner of war, you want to give your name, rank, and number. And then he could speak perfect English. And then after he was finished talking, he said, "Are you still going to hang out to Washington and Siegfried Lane?" And we didn't make any comment at the time. And I thought it was quite amusing, that, Lee. They all knew that song, you know, the Germans. And so did the German kids who were, when we were prisoners, we worked in Germany, found out. And then I was standing there. What I'd done, I'd picked up a gas cape, you know, while I was being marched back. I was just sort of grabbing things with that I might need, you see. And I had this gas cape under my arm. And then he come over and he took it out and he unraveled it like, and he had his stick, he had this like swagger stick, and he was hitting it to see how tough it was, I suppose. And then after he thrashed it with his stick, he threw it out and said, "Give us it back." And I kept this in my coming handy in case it rains. And,
were you beginning to feel a little bit more confident at this time that you're going to get through okay?
No, not really, because at the time I still wasn't thinking right. Well, I'm just still thinking, what's these Germans, you know, the Germans, you know, what's happening, you know. And then we came out of there and the Royal Air Force came over. And this German, he showed me, he's going, told us, get behind these trees, because the roads all seem to have trees, lined with trees. The stout trail is just stand behind the tree, you know, making signs. And the Air Force come around, and we see them, typhoons come, they're banging around, and I was saying, just keep going. And then they're aware they mustn't have spotted anything. And there was, by the way, there was a German, he had a DLI flash in his hand. It was an 8th Battalion shoulder flash. Because there's like green and yellow. And it was wrote out in full, you know. And he goes, Durham Light Infantry.
Had he asked you, when he was interrogating you, had he asked you about your unit and where you'd come from, what you were doing?
No, he didn't ask. The unit was on my arm. TT saying Dominic, was already there. I've still got my TT. That's it. The original ones, with the muck still on them. Still got them. And I didn't ask. You just asked, had we come through France, you know, from the beaches and right through, right? That was all.
So up to then they hadn't treated too badly?
No, not too badly, no.
Did you get any impression as to the condition of the German troops that had taken you? Were they cock-a-hoop, or were they tired, or?
No, they seemed all right. They didn't seem despondent in any way like that. They just, maybe they thought they were doing well in that particular time on the Albert. They were definitely holding the ground. I suppose the Germans is always told where we're going to win this. Right? And, by the way, they captured a jeep as well. The company jeep, they must have got that, and they were riding up and down the road on it. They were enjoying themselves on this jeep. There's about half a dozen of them sitting around and down. And every time they passed through, they were going, oh. Good, huh? And then they decided to march right away all together. That day we walked from jail to Turnhout, which is 15 miles. And I thought, go along that road, where are we going? We seem to, you know, it seemed to be marching for ages and ages and ages, getting tired. Where are we going to, you know?